Welcome to the Ether. Today is Wednesday, May 18th, 2022. Today on the Ether, Terra V2. What are your thoughts? Hosted by Ryan Lyon. Let's take a listen.
You know, like many people, yeah, I'm pretty low on capital right now. And that seems like a pretty huge risk. So, you know, it's kind of sad and that myself and a whole bunch of call lunatics, right? Like what did we do? We bought Luna, we staked it, or we held stake derivatives, right? So I presume there's like a whole bunch of core community members that are in my situation, and by the time we got to the bottom, I was kind of mentally and financially in shambles, and didn't have any foresight that when CEXs were shutting off Luna and UST trading, and the network was halting, that actually there might be some sort of revival here that benefits the people that make a jump here. So I think if it was up to me and I was rebuilding, it would be absolute priority would be bringing that core community some sort of, not even restitution, but stakeholding, right? Because those are the people that they staked, they maintained the previous network, and those are the people that have been left out on the sidelines right now. That's my general view.
What do you think the rationale was with this proposal where, like, the existing people who have some sort of staked assets or staked derivatives or whatever they're actually going to count? I'm not even sure what it is exactly, but what is the thinking, or what do you believe if their thinking is coming up with a proposal that locks those people in for very specifically? Like, what is the... I guess one argument can be made, like, really all you're getting in this drop is a coin worth zero, a coin worth potentially some, future value, and you're getting basically governance rights, in my view. That's about it, right? So in a way, as long as you can vote with it, you sort of like have some power over the future direction of where things are going. Since it's worth nothing anyway, I suppose the question is what people are clamoring over shouldn't be so much the money, but like the voting power. My biggest concern is like you're not making anyone whole with any of this shit. So like the reality is that, even compared to your previous portfolio value, I mean, just think like you'd have to, 1,000x or something the value of your coin to make it like worth anything close to where it was probably. So in this sense, it's really to me the governance power and any system that, they should have just had a temporary token for governance or something. I don't know that, this is very specifically for governance. Any kind of like airdrops could have been sorted out for some kind of like value accrual. Coin could have been sorted out later. I don't know. I'm just sort of like brainstorming here. I don't know if even that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I completely agree with you, and that's what I was saying is that, at this point, I don't really care about, as you say, like to actually like recoup what was lost would, it's not possible in any sort of short or you know, maybe even medium term timeframe, right? So I just can't get my head around the logic of excluding the people or putting people on the sidelines for 12 months, the people who would be most likely to participate in a new chain, in governance, in staking, in securing the network. It just doesn't make any sense. And I guess
these locked coins, are they not even available to stake them? You can't even vote with them, or what?
Well, I mean, I've not seen any of the detail. I've seen as much detail as anyone else, and I don't think there's anything in there that says you can stake these coins and you can do X, Y, and Z with them. If there is, then okay, that's maybe a little bit more interesting, and maybe you get that 7%, annual yield or whatever. But that's not how I'm reading things right now. So, if I'm wrong, I'm happy for anyone to jump in and let me know. But yeah, I mean, like, who do you want to rebuild a new network with? Like, is it the people who bought in at fractions of a penny or 10 cents on the dollar on UST? Or is it the people who've been here for the last 12, 6, 12, 18, 24 months? Like, it just doesn't make any sense, Seppi. I don't know if you've got any view on it.
I mean, the people who did the most buying, right, as UST was going down, I mean, LFG is one of the primary recipients of, like, unvested tokens, or I mean vested tokens at V2 launch because of their UST position. So, I mean, like, that's gotta inform some of the logic behind the proposal, right?
Yeah, I don't know who I'd rather prefer the voting power, who do you rather prefer be the voting whale ultimately, right? Like, because a lot of the major holders of Luna before this, for the initial snapshot, would be some of the largest validators and pre-existing sort of whales and such to begin with, which, I guess is fine because they were the ones running the network and they're the ones that started the thing in the first place. I get it. But at the same time, it's like, what is the goal typically of a token distribution? The distribution, you're trying to get as wide of a distribution as possible, usually, in order to sort of credibly decentralize a system, and I don't know how many, discussions there have been about that in general in crypto. Obviously, nobody knows how to do it precisely, right? But I just don't know where this is going. Like, I just don't see... There's no natural discovery of a community in this way, the way that it's set up right now. My theory was just whatever pre-assets that were available, you would take that and airdrop it that way. Or, I mean, I guess as a point of goodwill, you could do that still. You could take, like you said, LFG's Luna or whoever's, and you could take that and do just distribute that again in some manner that is deemed fair, even a week before the DPEG or something, people that were widely interested in the network for something. But either way, there's not a good financial distribution necessarily. My thought is There's also it doesn't seem like there's any new innovation here. I mean, if you're going to spend the time to create a new chain, Ryan, so on Prism, for example, we had the, Prism and you had the X Prism token, right? You had a liquid staked derivative. Like, what would be your feel for a chain that literally had a liquid staked derivative, right from the very beginning, where that wasn't even SQG and XPRISM, et cetera, right? Like, I kind of like those models where you are sort of like liquid. If you want to sell away some of your governance power, that's your business. You know, there's not an obvious reason to have like a lockup period necessarily. And people should be able to just move things around at will and be capital efficient and sort of free. What's your thinking there? Like even if, like, if you had to build from the very beginning and you kind of saw what Prism did or Astroport, like, how would you do it differently if you just make a chain right now?
Right. So I just want to correct what I said previously. So Paddy Earthlin DM'd me and just like highlighted a section in the proposal that says all tokens locked or vesting are staked at Genesis and must be unbonded to become liquid. So,
okay. Well, that covers that question.
Yeah. So it does seem like folks will potentially get governance rights, potentially get staking rewards. Obviously, that's not really, doesn't seem like that's fleshed out other than that one sentence. So yeah, I don't want to speculate any further on that. In terms of like, I don't know. I mean, obviously, like, I think probably a lot of people have learned a lesson here in terms of like liquid staking derivatives, and you know, giving yourself optionality at any point to be able to, you know, exit a position should you absolutely need to. And you know, we've obviously, you know, it's been pretty heartbreaking to see, you know, some folks who were like just 100% staked and just had to sit there and watch their position just get absolutely decimated with nothing that they could do about it. I wonder, like, there's a couple of things. Like, typically with liquid staking derivatives, you kind of forfeit your governance power. So if we think about the liquid staking derivatives that we saw on the on Terra's and L1, so B Luna, you know, completely gave up your governance rights. Luna X the same, C Luna / P Luna the same. Although we were literally probably a couple of weeks out from pushing out throughput governance on P Luna. So I'd say,
I think you're right with Stater. If you staked auto compounding, you could get your governance, but I think Luna X, you gave it up. I think you're right.
Right. Got. Yeah. Yeah. So you could either just stake right with Stater and they'd auto compound, or you could have Luna X, which was liquid. But yeah, I think you gave up your governance rights. I don't know if you could even throughput governance vote on Stater as an individual. So I didn't personally use that platform, but yeah, so if you're going to have liquid staking, I think it's important to build some sort of like governance throughput into that. And then I just wonder, like, to what extent is there network if everyone is liquid staked, does that create any sort of network vulnerability from someone just being able to come buy up all the liquid stake tokens and do some sort of network attack? I mean, I guess it depends what percentage of the tokens would be available on the network at any particular time. So probably don't have enough insight into that view. But yeah, I think most people will probably have learned their lesson from a 21 day lockup over this last few weeks.
Well, there was some wreckage from people that did LPs outside of Terra too, right? Like, so the, you know, Luna, you know, Rune Pair and all that stuff. Yeah, Osmo Pairs and whatnot.
Oh, right, because those had lockups for boosties, right?
Yeah, and I think there was like impermanent loss protection on Thor chain. But it's like, okay, how are they going to like make you whole again when your impermanent loss is this bad or whatever you want to call it? I'm not even sure it's considered a permanent loss at that point. It's just loss. but I don't know. Yeah, the incentive mechanisms for doing some of those things. You definitely give up certain rights in a sense when you use all of those different pools and whatnot. But, you know, I think so it looks like a fair number of sites have said that they're going to go ahead and migrate to V2. So I guess Prism has said this, like, what have you guys talked about at Prism in terms of what's going to happen there?
Yeah, I guess I just, you know, for the purpose of this space, I don't know if I really want to talk to Prism specifically, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if it's like, you don't know or whatever.
Look, you know.
I get it.
You know, like, I think, you know, everyone wants, you know, I think everyone wants to, just speaking broadly, I think everyone wants to get back on their feet in some way or another, right? And like, particularly for those projects that have developed on Terra, who, you know, it's depending on, you know, what runway projects have and how much development effort, you know, moving to another chain and how long that would take to do. There's lots of things to be taken into consideration. And obviously, you know, any new Terra chain will be pretty much relatively, you know, compatible with the previous Terra chain. So I think it's easy from a short-term perspective to just do that, right? And again, I'm just kind of speaking broadly there for, you know, other projects.
For sure. So I have a quick question around just like your thoughts on basically, so there's people who were buying on the way down, right? Assuming that they were going to get a bounce. Like, if you were to tackle this proposal yourself, how would you handle the people in that case?
I mean, look, I've been, you know, again, like, I don't know, like, how technically possible and how long it would take to run, like, lots of different snapshots and, you know, do analysis over those snapshots to try and come up with some sort of equitable output, right? But, you know, if anyone was kind of following the thread that I started on the Prism forum around, like, what do people think about, like, how we should snapshot things, how we could potentially give some sort of restorative stakeholding in a V2 or relaunch protocol. You know, I think, you know, for my view of what is equitable is some sort of time-based model, right? Like, and you know, we've seen really, like, particularly for Prism as well, I guess, like, there's a slight differential, but that there was no, like, hyperinflation on the Prism side. But you got a situation here, like, if you're going back to the, you know, I think, like, Dome may have described it as, like, the first block that UST lost peg on Binance, right? Or the last block that it was on peg, whatever. I think you've got, like, people who are obviously, like, affected in very different ways across that time period between, I think it was May 7th that things started, and let's say May 13th that the blockchain halted, where it kind of just felt like an end at that point. And for me personally, if you're going to have some sort of, like, utopian situation, like, you'd probably do some sort of time weighted snapshot across that period and kind of like give people, like, a restorative stakeholding based on the activity over that period, because but then again, I guess it depends on, like, are you trying to like address some sort of, are you trying to address monetary loss, or are you trying to like bring back the core participants within the ecosystem? So if you're just trying to bring back core participants, then maybe you do just want to go back to that DPEG snapshot. If you're trying to bring back core participants with some sort of like equitable shareholding element, you'd probably want to look at like how things progressed for individual wallets across that period.
I just had a thought too, like you know, another theoretical way you do, like, you could have like different sort of like qualification. So I'll give you an example. Like when you go to, so on some of the Cosmos airdrops, like for Atom stakers, for example, you had some airdrops for some types of chains. I think Crescent was one of them, for example. If you're an Atom holder and you had a snapshot, you were possibly a recipient. If you had Osmo tokens, you're possibly a recipient or whatever, right? Like you had like different snapshot groups. Juno, you might have some coins. One of the benefits to having like what you're talking about, where basically you have a set, you know, multiple criteria. Like let's say, for example, you got some bonus tokens if you happen to be an active wallet for the past year or something like that, right? Like there's that time-based element too. So not just like what happened over the last couple of weeks in terms of like DPEG all the way to hyperinflation, but also just like measuring some rewards for people who have been around for you know, a long time, right? You could do something like that.
Yeah, or, like the flip side lunatic score, just like,
yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
Flat like, bucketing for that.
Yeah, and then there's also a possibility that like individual protocols to attract attention, like a Prism or whatever, you know, take snapshot of, you know, pre-DPEG or whatever it is, of and get some distribution that way. The other thing too is we're even in this whole mess, we haven't really done what is normally done with airdrops, and that is the consideration for, again, like holders of other, you know, bring in people that are otherwise participating in Cosmos, right? Like normally for something like this, if you were starting a new chain today, right? Like, wouldn't you be doing airdrops for, you know, Atom, Juno, and like, you know, whoever holders, right? Like at least small amounts to bring them in, experience the new system, et cetera. To have like a sort of pool set aside for these types of purposes and to distribute more governance power like to larger groups of people. That's sort of the concept in DeFi. It's like the goal is not simply financial restitution or something like that, which is not going to happen, right? I think this chain should be thought of as like something brand new. I'm thinking of it as something brand new. Like at this point I don't give a flying fuck what coins I have, how many I'm getting, and like how the distribution works. Yeah. I know it's not going to like make me whole again anyway. All I'm looking at is, hey, if this can be distributed in a way where like the new system can develop a community that is of like strong stakeholders, and those people are willing to sort of like hold their coins, but they're also willing to like develop and participate in the system, then the question in my mind is, if I'm going over the next 6 months or year, am I going to deploy my personal capital into this project and invest again, right? Like that's, you know, I'm not even thinking about the idea of like, oh, like are my little Luna coin, like Luna 2 coins gonna moon or some shit, right? I think
that's a really fair point, Seffy. Like, yeah, if you were, I mean, like, look, if you were just going to forget everything that had happened, right? If you were looking for the best possible participants in a new chain, like you'd probably end up doing something like what a Juno's done or what an Osmo's done, and look across like different ecosystems at people who are partaking in like good behavior, whether that be governance, whether that be like staking, and you would try and bring those like good DeFi ecosystem participants into your ecosystem, and have the best quality of stakeholder in the chain or the protocol as you possibly could, right? I think that's a really really good point.
I think the way to think of this is like, how would you want to do this if none of the past existed and all you were doing was building a new chain, right? Like what kind of decisions would be made in that context? And because if you create a protocol and a proposal and a chain that's based on, you know, trying to rectify previous mistakes or whatever that means, like, and that may not even be possible. You then may hobble the future validity of, whatever it is you're building by like creating a bunch of perverse incentives and whatnot. And that's another set of problems, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a couple of people here lost, and I'm in the middle of the thunderstorm and my dog's going mad. So I don't know if anyone else wants to jump in at this point.
Yeah, I got to get back to work. Thanks, guys. Tough problem.
But yeah, I mean, like, to your point, like, Sefi, around like encouraging the best possible participants into the ecosystem, it's almost like we've developed a strategy to do the exact opposite of that. Metal Militia, I don't know if you wanted to speak.
Yeah, I just tweeted something out about how they could do the snapshot to make it a little more, they could do like 5 snapshots from Saturday to Tuesday. Maybe that would show who came into the system and who stayed with it and who was able to cash out at, you know, a reasonable amount.
Yeah, I think like, obviously, like, lots of different, like, I think one of the things we're struggling with, right, is like everyone's got their own view on what's fair, what's equitable. Like, who are the participants that you want in a new chain? Like, how would you go? How, you know, just as we were discussing there, how do you go about it? But it seems like, so I'm just going to mute you for a second. There's a bit of background noise. But everyone's got their own view. And I think the problem is at this point is, you know, we've sat here saying, well, what would you do? What would you do? But right now we've got literally a proposal in motion that like sets this plan in motion, right? Which I think to a certain extent is very sad. That, you know, it just to me it just seems like such a terrible distribution with not a lot of thought around, like, you know, like token utility, token value, like how things are going to work, not much detail.
There's another thing too, Ryan. A thought could have been made to say, okay, well, let's keep like 50% of this token distribution and not even give it out, and then use that to, you know, maybe airdrop active continued participation, right? Because in other words, you can just basically get back the value of your coins by like doing stuff on the network, or maybe, you know, or something, right? Like there's got to be a way to, you could have done future snapshots essentially, but if you sort of like throw it all out right now, because like think about it, like let's say you receive tomorrow, Ryan, let's say you receive 1 million Luna 2 tokens. Are you going to really know the difference in 1 million of those and 500,000 of those or 10 million of those? No, because they don't mean anything, right? So, like, you know, had they kept, held a significant portion more for, like, community, and then you could kind of, like, you know, drop those over time or some participation or something so that not as many are dumped, you wouldn't have to necessarily have you lock up your coins like, you know, how they're doing now. You could set it up to where like there's ongoing token emissions that maybe happen over, I don't know, 6 months, or, you know, maybe some kind of rewards. I don't know. Just it's a little bit late to be talking about this now if they're already doing something, but it's, I don't know, just like thinking about ways that the distribution could have been done differently.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just, you know, it just feels incredibly rushed. And I think when you rush things, you know, you risk failure. And there's obviously like a huge amount of like, seems like everyone's in a hurry, right? In the community, you know, in developer space, like it's almost like we feel like, oh, well, if we don't do something really quickly, like we're gonna lose everyone or whatever. But like at the same time, if you rush things, you're just gonna do it badly, and you can only do things once. You can only have a Genesis once, right? And it's almost like we've gone from this like meticulously thought out like blockchain with a very specific purpose, with a very specific mechanism, with a very specific value capture, with, you know, a quite in-depth white paper and, you know, significant like thought that's got into it, into like, let's just like throw some shit together over a week and hope for the best.
Yeah, I guess it is possible to make parameter adjustments on, I guess, any major portion of the vision, I suppose, right? Like, that's the other thing. But again, that's where, like, the governance distribution ultimately matters, right? Because who is actually voting for what? And like, what kind of changes could you reliably make if time goes on? Like, let's say it's determined that, oh, whoa, like 7% inflation rate's too high or too low, or we want that to be dynamic or whatever, right? Like, I guess that could be made possible. Because once you're just sort of like printing inflationary tokens out of thin air, like, who gives a shit how you exactly do it, right? You could always modify it. But maybe there are ways to sort of like improve this model. Like, maybe like the longer you stake, the relative proportion of your rewards is higher or something, versus someone who just sort of like sells their coins at the end of a cliff, for example. Or maybe you can commit to, like, I don't know, a 2-year vesting period in it and, you know, not, you know, sell at the cliff, and then your yield right now will be higher as a proportion of the network or something. So I guess there's always some things you could do to sort of like fix certain elements of the tokenomics. But as far as the vision, like you're saying, like, someone's gonna have to come up with the vision. I guess this is the time, like, if people have a grand vision, to sketch that out and say, hey, like, you know, just get consensus from everybody that, hey, we think this is the cool thing that, you know, this is the next best thing if we want to have like a corporation come and start a protocol on our chain because there's something interesting there, or like whatever your goal is, right? Like, what is the?
Well, I guess like one thing, like, I see OIO in the chat there, and he asked a question in the chat I was in earlier saying, like, what's the value pool of this token? What's the value of it? And like, and Jimmy made a similar point recently, which was like earlier today, which was like, we've been living on a blockchain where like the L1 asset is the absolute like apex, right? Like the goal in the Terra ecosystem previously was like accumulate as much of the L1 token as possible, because that is where all the value accrual goes across almost the entire network. And maybe this is an opportunity where like the actual DeFi ecosystem gets to thrive, right? Because it was extremely difficult if you were working in any project. This is Prism included, and, you know, even we tried to do some, you know, we tried to kind of mix things up a little bit to try and bring more stickiness and more value to our token. But like, you almost like stood no chance whatsoever, because if anyone was making any profit from Terra Alts, they, you know, that profit would be taken and redistributed into Luna. So maybe this this blockchain is an opportunity to actually build out a DeFi ecosystem where the projects themselves aren't competing with the L1, right? The L1 maybe, you know, takes more of a like pure governance function, and it's the projects themselves that have the opportunity to shine, to bring value accrual, and ultimately bring people to the network for the products that sit on top of the blockchain rather than the blockchain itself. Always right. You've been sat patient. I think you dropped out once as well. Please, please do jump in, man.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the distribution real quick and kind of the vesting schedule. You know, Doe himself a while back talked about didn't like airdrops, and talked about the possibility of a loyalty score, you know, based on how long somebody has staked, you know, they would get a bigger percentage of the airdrop. I guess I'm just surprised that something like that wasn't in the initial proposal. And I don't know, can there be a provision put in to where, you know, maybe if they are able to pull, say, a loyalty score, maybe those long-term Luna stakers would have a year in a vesting schedule. It's something like 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. Because my concern is, obviously, everybody's got the same vesting schedule. You know, 1 year from now, what's going to happen? Well, everyone's going to dump, just like a lot of these Terra alts have done in the past. So just something I wanted to throw out there. I don't know if that's a provision where they could actually pull a loyalty score and have that included somewhat either in the proposal at some point.
I mean, like, again, like, it's definitely an idea. It's not, you know, potentially a good idea, but is it too late? I guess is my question is, do we just have to accept this thing that's being pushed through as like, it is what it is, and just go with it? Like, I don't know what the alternative option is now. We're at the stage where it's gone to governance proposal, unless, you know, some sort of like coalition of probably mostly at this point to challenge like what's going forward in governance, that the only way that you could realistically challenge something like that would be to get maybe a majority of validators on board to say, like, we don't support this proposal, we're not willing to implement the updates to run it, and, you know, we go back to the drawing board with whether it be like a coalition of like the projects to say, look, we want to do something different that's not this. But other than that, like at this point, I just don't see any other way to stop the proposal in its current form. Sefi, I don't know if you've got any thoughts on that at all.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I mean, once it's sort of rolling, I think, and a new chain gets kind of created, like I said, the original distro stuff is kind of whatever. Technically speaking, once you have a variety of participants in that network, you could always do sort of, in theory, new snapshots and, you know, throw out some more tokens at people. Have like, cap of, you know, 2 billion coins or whatever. Like, what's the difference at that point? It makes no difference, like the exact count, right? So theoretically, after the fact, you know, if people are, sort of interested in like posting proposals, I guess we could do something to additionally, but the problem becomes then, like, why would the people who are voting with the coins that they've already gotten vote to dilute the coins that they've already received, right? So, you know, you're asking a lot of the people who receive the first coins. So I guess that may not work, but I don't know. Like, I guess whatever had to be done, like, it would have had to been one of the people in the community here having posted a very specific proposal that thought that it could not only pass, but could be implementable. So the problem, I think, with the TVL idea I had, which was like, just take whatever the value pre-peg of all your money on the chain, like via an 8-board snapshot or something like that. I'm not even sure that was implementable, but if it was, like, at least it encompassed people's staked positions, it encompassed their debt versus their assets, it encompassed, you know, like all of their value prior and as a proportion of the total value of Terra. And that would have been, I think, a reasonably fair thing, but I don't know if it was implementable. That's a different thing, right? So the ability to actually take the types of snapshots that everyone wants and to get that to work right is questionable. And maybe what it is like you would type your address into 4 different things and like it'll do 4 different analyses. And if you qualify each of those, you would be a potential airdrop could happen for each of your various qualifications. So I don't know. In either case, at this point, in my mind, the other question is like, so you have this like fresh new chain formed. And I guess at least you know the validators are going to be there, I suppose. Ryan, have you heard like how many validators are actually signed up for this? Is it going to be a secure chain? Like, do we have requisite numbers?
I mean, I don't have any exact insight on that. I think you can see from the voting on the proposal as it stands how validators have voted. I think we've got 29 for yes, and we've got 3 for no with veto. I presume that they've got a majority of validators on board. Otherwise, I doubt they would have put the proposal forward.
Because I guess the no with veto folks, the presumption is that they might not even validate ultimately, like they might leave. And then, and then what about the validators that are running the network, the existing network? I'm just curious how long it is until like the existing network has a total chain halt. What do you think? I'm not really sure how that works.
Yeah. I mean, like at GT, I think we're shutting down our validator on both chains. I mean, validator is all about like how, well, I guess like, you know, some will do it for the love, right? But I think there's obviously a profit element to it. You know, I can tell, say, from my experience, I think it's something in the region of $30,000 per annum to run a validator, maybe a little bit more actually. I think something like $3,000 a month. So there's only so long that people will continue to validate for if it's not profitable. So that's going to be pretty interesting to see how that plays out on old chain and I guess on new chain. I haven't heard from the validators in terms of like where they are in terms of consensus or like how many are willing to.
I would presume though that has something to do with why there's such a rush, right? Like, because if you take like months and months to sort out and argue over like whatever proposals and try to get everyone to have like the perfect proposal with a million snapshots, I guess the problem is that time is not on your side as far as like the profitability of the validators. Maybe that's part of the urgency.
Potentially. Yeah, I actually hadn't thought of it from that perspective. I think that's, you could potentially be right there.
Yeah.
Kawhi, please come in.
Hey. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, awesome. Man, we got you.
Awesome. So yeah, I wanted to ask you, Ryan, like, you know, what, you know, is the general consensus with validators and like other builders and stuff? And then also, you know, do they also see it, you know, the way that you're seeing it? And like, how long would you ideally would have wanted the discussions and everything to go forward? You know, what would have been appropriate for you?
So I guess in terms of like the view that I've had on consensus is that I would say, like, I don't think, you know, I think a lot of people, like, I would say there's a general consensus that I absolutely, you know, want to give like some sort of V2 chain a try, right? And as we talked about, like, there's a lot of value in like the way the chain operates, the security, the UI, UX of like the wallets, the apps, etc. And you know, a very high quality of builders that have built on the network to date that there would be a waste to throw away. So I think there's like an absolute consensus that okay, well, like maybe, you know, let's try and make a you know some sort of L1. I think there was probably mixed views on like whether or not we should try and like re-engineer a stablecoin, but I think that probably would have been foolish to try and do that out the gate given what we've just been through. I think like in terms of like the distribution element of it, I think there's been a lot of, you know, I don't think anyone, yeah, I would say if I had to guess, I would say the majority probably don't support that. But you know, I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth. Just kind of general feeling from, you know, a lot of people who've been inputting and also community members. And yeah, but I like how much we were able to move that. You know, clearly, you know, even the, you know, kind of coalition of like big projects haven't been able to really move the needle on that. So, in terms of like how long, like, yeah, I don't know, personally, you know, as I say, it feels like we're rushed. It just feels like we're rushing to for the sake of it. I don't know. Yeah, how do you feel?
Well, I'm just, you know, curious, like you're saying that it was rushed, but it's like, what would it look like if it wasn't rushed? You know, like, what would the process have been to get, you know, to the better consensus?
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, ultimately, I think things didn't seem to me to be particularly well organized, right? Like, there's so many like interested parties, whether that be like validators, different projects, like different community members, like different builders, different VCs, like everyone has got their own kind of view, and almost like too many fingers in the pie, or too many cooks spoil the broth, or whatever. I would have liked to have seen like some professional organization, right? Like, so, you know, I'm from, you know, tech operations, and, you know, I've worked in different types of like operational structures, and like, you know, some sort of like program project management, or, you know, some sort of like structure around like, you know, pulling out like different like core elements and having like champions from different interest groups, like represent their interest groups, you know, some more structure around like what was going on, and like, and then I guess like also some people like to step up and lead, right? Like, I think if we've been honest with ourselves, like, does it feel right that those leading these initiatives? And I would say, you know, it's a tricky one, right? Like, it doesn't feel like entirely appropriate given like its current like reputational status. But like who else is there to step up and lead? And I guess it just wasn't there ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, given the like unique circumstances. You know, I mean, who else would have led this? You know, of course, there's tons of different people who have different interests. To me, I think it's kind of half of a miracle that there's even like a half decent proposal that, you know, is up. But then again, I might not be sophisticated enough to understand some of the implications to, you know, the token distribution and whatnot. But yeah, that's just my two cents.
Yeah, I think some fair points. Like, you could keep iterating forever and never get to a solution that, like, well, you absolutely would never get to a solution that pleases everyone, right? But I don't know, personally, like, I think this would have been an opportunity to really, like, one of the things I'm really disappointed about on a personal level is, like, the decentralization element of it all, right? Like, if we're being completely honest with ourselves, like, we've been playing at decentralization this whole time. Like, we've been talking about like a decentralized stable coin, a decentralized economy. But like, when TFL own like 50% of the supply, plus like a couple of other VCs take you very quickly up to like 60-70% of the supply of a token, then there's nothing decentralized about it at all.
There are some pretty good editorials about this, Ryan, not specific to Terra, but specific to, Bitcoin, that I think is a good lesson for everybody in this regard. It goes something like this, basically, you know, when BTC first emerged, nobody knew what it was. There are a bunch of random people mining it, with no actual like idea that it would actually be worth anything. And it just sort of caught on. And, you know, you had like sort of like this initial group of people who were sort of mining it for the culture or whatever, or for the tech or whatever you want to call it, right? And then, of course, it took on some value. It had some, you know, ups and downs in terms of crashes, and then had like Mt. Gox and a bunch of, you know, stolen Bitcoin, and like, you know, all sorts of chaos happened. And, you know, things sort of like emerged organically. And I think the observation that people have made since then is it's actually very, very, very difficult to achieve some sort of true decentralization after that. Because if you think about it, it, you know, you're either having to distribute airdrops, but then who are you going to give them to? You're going to do advertising. Now you have a centralized agency that has to create ads to bring new users in. The on ramps, the off ramps, everything becomes centralized when it's like built in or inorganically versus organically, and it's very difficult to replicate a second time. My version of like what decentralization is, Ryan, is not so much whether you can decentralize one chain. I just don't think it can be credibly done. There's almost like no examples of this where it's like truly, truly credibly decentralized. I think the Cardano people like to claim that they are. You know, I'd have to analyze that, you know, in more detail to see if that's really, really true or not. But anyway, the point is like decentralization itself is very hard to achieve. But to me, decentralization is, hey, look, if you have a dozen different stable coins, okay, you know, it's harder to shut that all down because you have so many of them. If you have a dozen different L1s, okay, it's hard to shut that down because they're, you know, you can interchange between them, you can move coins here and there, and like, you know, so the aggregate of multiple chains creates the decentralization effect, and it creates like a Darwinian system where like there'll be winners and losers, some will survive, some won't, like Terra won. And you know, that's sort of where like the decentralization comes from. It comes from a natural progression of you know, builders and human beings and like owners of coins and everything sort of like just jumbled up in one big mess. And by having like tens of thousands of different cryptos or whatever, like that are, you know, fungible between each other, then sort of that's the web of, you know, decentralization to me. But I don't think there's a credible way, even if you like today, like you wanted to build like the decentralized chain. How are you going to distribute that to, and like, even if you airdrop to every human being on the planet, say, hey, like you can get a Luna 2 token if you are alive and have a pulse, and you like, we can check your DNA to make sure you're only getting one token. and you know, we can give everyone one token, and you're here, you know, come get your free token. Even then, like, you're not going to be able to find, you know, even a small fraction of the billions of people on this planet to come and like sign up and get it, right? So even when companies give shit away for free, right, like people, like coupons or whatever, right, like, you know, that only attracts a certain amount of users to a company. And, you know, like coupons and like deals, those are considered basically like, you know, ad budgets for most companies, right? They just think of that as a cost of doing business. But even then have a hard time, you know, getting to the total addressable market in a timely manner, right? So like that whole, I just don't know that like anything is ever going to be incredibly decentralized in the DeFi space. I think the best we can expect is a good team of builders that have a vision that you believe in. And then your decentralization, Ryan, would be, okay, like you have some of your assets on Terra, but you know what? These Juno guys, there's a few things I like what they're doing. I'm going to have a little bit of my shit there. And, you know, I like what they're doing over here on Avalanche, and maybe I'll like do a few things over there. Like, so your wallets are decentralized a little bit, you know, so that all your shit's not in one place, you know, so there's like a diversification effect, but also just like your commitment is sort of decentralized as well. And I think that's another part of it too. Like we want decentralization, but then we behave in a centralized manner a lot of times individually, which is fascinating, right? Like there's so many layers to this onion or whatever.
Yeah, I think some very fair points there, Sefi, but yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, you can still strive for something, right? Like you were talking earlier about, like, you know, having a large community pool, right? And you could bounty out like tasks, you know, things like marketing or whatever, you know, the different sort of tasks that you were talking about from the community pool, rather than have it controlled by a central entity. I would have loved to have seen some whale capping on redistribution, right? Like essentially, like over time, on a presumption that you know, let's say that over the next 5 years they do make a success of this chain, ultimately all those tokens go back to the original holders in their entirety, even though the larger wallets have got like a longer vesting period. So ultimately you just end up back at like BCE chain, which, yeah, I feel.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Getting that like credible decentralization, is difficult. Like, you know, and then if you have like 90% community pool, let's say, and you have to distribute over time, then that represents another type of attack vector of some sort or the other. Right. So it's like for you, there's always a trade-off. There's never a, and let's say, for example, you know, you have a whale comes in and, you know, there's incentives that align such that they can get a whole lot of the tokens very early for a very low price too, right? Which could still happen, by the way, in theory, because it's going to be floated. And then a bunch of people like figure, oh, this token is stupid, I'm going to dump it. And then someone else comes and like takes over just for the hell of it, because they have $100 million laying around and they decide to buy a bunch of it, and they see some, it always leaves open the possibility that the little guy basically doesn't have the vision to acquire enough tokens. And the person with the larger amount of capital that does have the vision is going to acquire more of it anyway. Because let's say you're a company or something and you're like, hey, you know what, this Terra V2, we see opportunity here. We're going to come and throw $100 million at this or $1 billion at this, right? Like, and then take over a lot of voting power. You still have the same problem, right? Like, it's still centralized, but you literally like the community just gave away the actual, decentralization component of it by selling their tokens, right? So there's always a way to create a problem down the line, even if you try to be decentralized at some level. I don't know. Maybe some of the guys here have some ideas. Doug said, or
yeah. Hey, what's up, guys? No, long time no talk. Ryan, I was listening to you speaking for the past like 5 to 10 minutes, and I kind of, you know, in some way, I kind of share the same sentiment. It seems like, you know, this catastrophe, if you will, happened so fast and so abrupt. And, you know, I've read all the Agora posts from Do Kwon, and, you know, I've been listening to his threads and really like reading it. It seems to me, and maybe it's like a contrarian view or something, but it seems to me like he just wants to like do away with it. Like in some way where he's like, you know what, fuck this. It didn't work. Here's like the new plan. You guys vote on it and then you guys deal with it. As opposed to kind of like, you know, maybe expressing, you know, more concern for, you know, for others, maybe giving it a bit more time to let things kind of like resonate and, okay, it was a big failure. But it seems like, yeah, he's just rushing through it, just trying to get his hands away from it. I mean, do you guys kind of see that, or am I like the only one that kind of views that?
Well, who knows? The idea is this time it's like, well, here, all the tokens are being distributed to the community, none to TFL. I don't know. I don't know what he could say at this point that, you know, is going to make everyone like, you know, sing kumbaya or whatever. Like, it's not going to happen. So I think if he seems like too concerned about one group or the other, it's going to look like, well, you're just being indecisive. You're not like moving on some sort of, you know, proposal. If you'd go too rushed, then, you know, people are going to say you're too rushed. I mean, like I'm not sure there's anything that's going to make everyone happy at that point. So like, how are you going to, like, that's what I was asking Ryan earlier. I was like, if we had this utopian vision of like, how many weeks do we take to sort of fix this, and how many, like, what distribution would like be perfect if it's implementable and all of that stuff, like, you know, what would be the right time frame? I think the answer is nobody really knows. And it's just a big trial by fire, and everyone just sort of rolling the dice, see what happens. And I've given up on the idea that I'm going to worry about like how many Luna tokens I'm getting. Like, I'm like, if I get a certain amount and I'm like, huh, okay. I don't even know what it's worth. It's a meaning, like, you know, obviously if you know, Luna 2 moons, you know, at some point in the future, I might be upset that I didn't get enough of them or some shit, but like, that's a problem I can worry about later. Right. Like, but for right now, I'm like, kind of like, well, maybe what I'll do is, okay, I'll get a certain number of tokens. And over the period of a year, when this vesting cliff and whatever happens, then maybe I'll watch it and I'll go and buy, like, maybe I'll double my coin stash or something, right? And then kind of, you know, decide like what risk I want to take with it. And by that time, a nice thing about a year going by is, right, like, you'll have other people that just ape into it right now. You know they will. Like, that's a given. But there's going to be other people that are going to wait for that, like, cliff schedule and some inflation to take place. And they're going to, like, watch the network to see if it's thriving. You know, is there anything exciting happening? And then they're going to deploy some more capital at that time, right, when they feel more confident, more certain. I think that's what's going to happen anyway. Like, it doesn't matter what this distribution is. You're not going to really get much out of this, I'm betting, without adding new capital to this. Right. Like, the odds that you're going to be basically like, you know, making it on whatever tokens that they distribute, whether it's a little bit or a lot, I don't know that it's going to make that much difference to most retail customers. Right. Maybe if you had like, you know, $100 million worth of Luna or something, you're going to be upset one direction or the other. But for the average person, I think, you know, dwelling on this too much is not like, it's not sane. Like we shouldn't, like, I think the merits of the system, it may work out fine regardless of distribution ultimately. And I don't know. We'll see. That's about as optimistic as I can get. Let's put it that way.
You know, it's funny you say that. I mean, look, for the past like year and a half, I've been like really deep into Terra, you know, and following all the protocols, investing, you know, good money, at least from my perspective, you know, for everything to stop. You know, like, for everything to just stop within like 3 days, you know, like, being confused is an understatement, right? And so, like, now I'm just so careful as to, you know, going forward. You know, so I, you know, I mean, obviously, I just wanted to get your thoughts, because obviously, you know, I follow you and I follow your experience. And
it doesn't matter what altcoin you've been in. Like, almost everyone's wrecked across the ecosystems, right? Like everything's down. So it's not like most people are like just like a lot of people that kind of bought in during the bull run last year that are relatively new, it's not like everyone's like crypto rich and ready to put a bunch of money into Terra V2, right? Like this is like, well, that's just where the market condition is right now too. So, you know, you should be cautious and you should like take your time with it at this point and sort of see what, you know, see what happens. That's about it. Like decide for yourself whether it's worth it or not.
Hey guys.
Hey dude.
So I just want to thank you for giving me the chance to talk here. One thing that I'm kind of upset about for the V2 is the mechanism for the burning with the USC. Now, we all know that one of the like the unique aspects of Terra was the burning mechanism, like with the UST demand and all that and burning tokens. That's what really made it like the real apex asset. But with the V2 and there's no stable coin with the UST and stuff, that's what really got me, you know, upset, because I don't know if it's going to be that Luna we know, you know, with the burning and stuff. I mean, it's fixed at 1 billion tokens. I don't know if we get to see the same strength and that we saw with the Luna this year, like two all-time highs in a span of like 3 months or something, was the only asset to do that in a bear market because of that mechanism, the burning mechanism. And I'm not sure we're getting that with the V2 because USC is just gone now, right? So,
well, I would clarify here that like there's a lot of coins with similar types of L1 tokenomics as what is being proposed here or whatever is about to happen. I think it's what 7% inflationary is what was, you know, Doe sort of like started out with, and that could probably be changed. But I would say that like there's a lot of coins out there that are have similar tokenomics and you know, their market caps are in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 billion dollar range, right? And by the way, that do less than Terra does, right? Like I hate to break it to everybody, but like my Atom tokens don't do shit yet, right? Like, and it's worth, you know, quite a lot more and than what Terra can possibly do. So I think it's not a good idea to be just like extremely pessimistic thinking nothing can be done. Being in total disbelief is not a good general strategy. I would just take it as it comes and see. There are definitely less interesting chains, you know, even than Terra, like that have like no use cases, that don't do a damn thing, who have like pretty substantial market valuations. So I wouldn't underestimate the power of the community to do that. Now, as far as like deflationary mechanism, I think first off, the question is, would there be parameters whereby like the inflation rate goes down and maybe even becomes, you know, like maybe there's some kind of like burn mechanism implemented at some point, tied to some sort of utility on the system, maybe. What I'm less enthusiastic about is like just simply burning tokens, you know, like for no reason. Like, for example, I'll give you an example. So like there's a token called SafeMoon, and don't go out and buy SafeMoon now, because I talked about it. I'm just like mentioning it. Like, so what they do is, okay, all right, if you transfer your SafeMoon from one wallet to another, you automatically get like -5% of your, like, every time you do a transfer or a transaction with it, a sale or a buy or anything, I think you lose like 10%. And what happens is 5% of that goes to burn and 5% of it goes to all the other holders. That sounds like a good idea. Like, okay, well, maybe that means that like if I hold long enough, the thing will go up and it's going to moon safely or some bullshit. But that doesn't actually happen. So at the end of the day, it's adoption that matters. And it doesn't matter what kind of interesting tokenomic you have. Like, let's say I set up Luna to, you know, burn automatically, let's say, 1 million tokens a day. Right? Like, just throw that in the mix. We're just going to burn money. People put in capital. We're just going to burn it. It doesn't really work because On inflationary tokenomics, what you're trying to do is you're trying to pay the validators with that inflationary rewards for staking. And those that don't stake don't get those rewards theoretically. And that's how you're kind of paying out in that type of system where they're not, you know, team tokens especially, right? Because if the team has tokens, like TFL has a bunch of tokens, they did that Project Dawn thing where they used some of their tokens and they upgraded some of the infrastructure and spent that money on development and grants and some other stuff, right? Now, the difference now is like your inflationary mechanism is actually sort of like the only place where this money sort of comes from, because just transactions on the network are not enough money necessarily. You have to have this sort of like inflationary thing. So what that creates is, if you look at all L1s, that creates a sort of ceiling in terms of like price appreciation growth of the native token. That's why like Solana and Avalanche, you name it, go look at their chart, and all of them got devastated. You know, your Cardanos, whatever, it doesn't matter what it was. Anything with an inflationary token, it's lost like probably, you know, 70 to 80% of its sort of like bull market gain. It's just naturally going to happen to some degree by market dynamics, but you're also just going to have that happen. By throwing in like artificial deflationary mechanisms that are not tied to utility, like a utility example would be like, all right, so if you buy tickets to like the movie theater and, you know, you're getting your like, you know, Doctor Strange tickets and you buy four tickets for your family, you go over there to go watch the movie and they take your tickets and they like rip them up, right? So they sort of burn the tickets and, you know, they go out of existence. So a burn mechanism to reduce supply makes sense if there is a very specific utility tied, like you mentioned, like the UST mechanism. When you tie burn mechanisms to, like, you know, outside of a senior edge mechanism, like this example, there's not really an incentive to burn them that makes any real sense, to, because you're basically just taking money and sort of vaporizing it into the ether without any actual purpose. So is there a way to create a credible burn mechanism for Terra that we haven't envisioned yet with some utility function that's amazing, you know, that, you know, it makes sense to use your Luna to burn it to get something for it in exchange, some service or an NFT or something? You know, you could make an argument that you could create an entire ecosystem where the use of the token, there is like a mechanism of burning it in the process of using it. I think Ethereum has a little bit of that now. Or you could have like an ethos where like all of the projects within that ecosystem focus on Luna as the core asset, in the sense that like that's the token that every, like a way to sort of like save L1 and have an interesting mechanism would be is if the primary asset of every new project was actually the layer one asset, and that somehow or another it wasn't just floating some new token like a Prism token or an Atom, you know, or a Astroport token. If there was a mechanism whereby like the primary token of the system could actually be the primary treasury asset somehow of the like initial system, or any new project, let's say, that launches a smart contract, would have to like exchange, you know, you'd have to go and like use Luna to get it, and a substantial fraction of that Luna for those particular types of transactions have to be burned to get the other ecosystem tokens, and that was like made standard somehow, then I can see like a credible scenario where Luna becomes, you know, deflationary in some way. Does this make sense, Default? Like, I don't know if I'm explaining this right, but you can't just have an arbitrary mechanism. It just doesn't ever work.
I get what you're saying. The point is, you had some really good points there, but the thing is, I'm talking about it just specifically from the angle of just the tokenomics. That's what really helped the UST mechanism with the burning stuff. That's what really gave it the strength that it had with the beginning of this year from January.
Just to add on to what Sefi said, this is what my view would be, right? Like, I think right now we're trying to salvage, like I've said it a couple of times, like the other good things about Terra, right? The usability, the security, the community, the UI, UX, the wallets, the apps, right? Like all the other good stuff outside of the tokenomics aspect. I think that DAO has given up on the idea of a decentralized stablecoin? Like, absolutely not. Like, I don't think that for one second. Would it be credible? Would there be any credibility or any market trust around trying to launch another algorithm or another iteration of an algorithmic stablecoin at the launch of a Terra V2? Like, I think that would obviously be not a good idea at this point. And, you know, we've been talking about like rushing into decisions. Like, that's certainly not something that you would want to rush into. Like, I think obviously, like, Terra did, they felt like they were so close to breaking the curse of the algorithmic stablecoin, right? But they kind of fell at the final hurdle, but you know, at least, you know, several hurdles further than anyone else had ever made it before. So I expect that they'll probably take some time and look at what worked well with UST, where the flaws in the mechanism were, whether there's a need for like full or partial collateral from, or over collateralization from the get-go. And I expect that there'll be some iteration of an algorithmic stablecoin on Terra at some point in the future. That's just my view. I don't have particularly much insight into whether that's actually true, but
I hope so. They stated that they won't be having the stablecoin for V2. It's not going to be there. It's just for the Luna Classic right now. What is it called? It's just going to stay there. I'm not sure if it's going to return to the peg or not. It's depegged at the moment. It's not showing strength. It's staying there. But for the V2, at the moment, there's no stablecoin announced for it. I hope so, because that's, for me, personally, that's what I think. It's giving it strength. It's also giving it demand. It's giving it a utility somehow. Maybe not in, I'm not sure if it's into the real world at the moment, but it may be in the future, since we're heading towards electronics, stuff like that. This could be used somehow. But yeah, that was my point, that with the UST behind this token, behind the Luna, this connection between both of these two, it was amazing. I really liked it myself.
Yeah, I mean, we all really liked it, probably too much.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that
I mean, look, really... I absolutely feel you, right? Like, I'm looking around, you know, spent the last week or so, like, looking around other ecosystems and other tokenomics models, and just, like, nothing compares, right? Nothing
exactly
compares.
Exactly.
But I mean, then you think, well, maybe it was, you know, obviously it was too good to be true. So like, obviously, like, can we return some sort of deflationary model? Probably. Will it have like quite the same oomph as the one that we've just had? Probably not, because you know, it's probably, as I say, like, too good to be true. But do I think that DAO has given up on the idea of an algorithmic stablecoin? No, I don't.
I hope not.
But I mean, it would just be ridiculous to try and launch something.
I mean,
at launch, with no time spent, you know, seriously analyzing like what happened with the mechanism and how it could be improved.
I mean, if people, the thing is, if people don't really realize how unique that was, that combination. I've never seen in a bear market in BTCs just going down for like, I mean, from November to like up till now, just for like 6-7 months straight, is just going down. There's a token out there, like it would be an altcoin, right? And it's doing 2 all-time highs. I've never seen that, never. And that shows strength. I don't know if most people realize that or not, but having that specific mechanism is what gave it strength. And that's why it did two all-time highs while BTC was just going down. Bitcoin was just going down. Ethereum, Ripple, all of these major assets that we know. But Luna was just amazing. It was shocking to me how two all-time highs in that specific, like, 4 months or 3 months was amazing. And that was because of that mechanism. It's a strength mechanism. That's what gave it value, gave it strength, gave it power to really survive in such a market condition. And that was basically my point. and I hope so in the future, in the V2, they would give some, they would turn into a stable coin with the Terra V2. Hopefully, I wish that actually.
I see we've got some other speakers on. I don't know what that's. Yeah, hey man, jump in, and then Hutch come in after. Absolutely.
Okay, this is my first time speaking on Spaces. Look up to you, Ryan, Lion, C5, everybody, all the lunatics. Everyone's had their hearts ripped out by this. It's a tragedy. Of course, you know, I'm not going to go over the obvious. What I don't hear a lot of people saying is how we're not getting what we need from Doe. I don't sense the integrity that I used to have. And that's, you know, trust is going to go with that. This new token that's coming out, Sefi said it's going to be a trial by fire. It feels like a dumpster fire right now. It feels like it's being rushed. It's like my girlfriend got murdered in my house and I'm just going to wipe up the evidence and move on with my life. It feels like we're moving too fast. I don't want to think about the future, but obviously if we're going to release this thing, he needs to hear from some good ideas. There's too many good ideas. I hear everybody on here talking about a vesting schedule unlock in a year. That's retarded. I'm sorry to use that word. It's just these guys are smarter than that, and I don't know what the hell they're doing. And it's kind of really upsetting, and I hear it in everybody's voice. It's either like we want to cope. I'm shook. I can barely breathe.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, coming onto this space and talking to you guys has, like, calmed me down a lot because I've been raging all day, honestly. And like, I've always been, like, trying to, like, suppress what I've been feeling because, like, I don't want to, like, piss people off. Like, people say, like, oh, you know, there's a lot of division in the in the community at the minute, right? And
I'm sorry, with Doquan's cult-like status, you know, it's typical. The cult leader can do no wrong. A lot of people want to follow what he said, but in this situation, I think we need to wake up and let him know that we don't agree with this. It's just it's a crap proposal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think we should follow him. I mean, I'm not speaking for everybody, but it's not enough. He hasn't done enough. He hasn't explained enough. He hasn't planned enough to earn my trust back.
So, absolutely. Like, I think everything that you just said is fair, and I certainly feel a lot of what you just said. Like, I can, you know, agree with a lot of what you just said. So, like, just to, like, play this out a little bit. Like, let's just say this proposal like doesn't exist right now, right? Or like, what would like a Doe redemption arc look like for you? Like, what are the actions that you would like to see? And I open this to everyone else on the floor after Meta's finished speaking. Like, what would you want to see to like start having that trust? To start regaining that trust.
It's like you teamed me up, Ryan. That's what I was going
to
talk about.
Sorry, can you just, yeah, sorry, Hutch, like jump in, absolutely. But like, yeah. I just wanted to hear from Meta first.
Oh, sure.
I'm not a big brain here. I don't have the solutions. I just know when, you just know when something doesn't feel right. And I'm pretty sure everybody here feels like that. It's a sad situation that we're having to all deal with it. I just don't have, I haven't taken the time to try to figure it out. You can let Hutch go ahead and go.
Cool. Jump in here, Hutch. And Ryan, maybe Mr. Olar, maybe you've got something to say afterwards as well.
Yeah, no, I think your concerns are valid. You know, I've posted intermittently and I haven't kept in touch with everything that's going on, everything that's floated out. But from my heart of hearts, I've known from the beginning that anything that's really championed by Doe is going to be stained by its very nature. Now, don't get me wrong. I have a lot of respect for the guy. I don't know him personally, but what he was able to do in terms of rallying all the builders and getting as much traction as we did, not only just with price action, but with actual shipping and building, and to recruit, you know, hard or soft, some of the brightest minds in the industry, and the architecture of, you know, the stablecoin, what the last gentleman was saying, was great, except for it didn't work. All of that was great. And I think Doe could almost be like a behind the scenes advisor to maybe cooler heads, and I've posted this publicly. Like, I bit Nate is freaking stud. The guy was like always so cool, like just cool, level headed, transparent, not only on AMAs, but like, you know, very transparent on forums in terms of different ideas. Stable Chen has gained a lot of popularity for stepping up and filling a void that, you know, up until just a day or so ago, you know, Doe was pretty absent and Stable Chen posted a lot of great stuff. So I think having cooler heads like that be the face and the name of a new chain that, by the way, as a marketing person, Luna anything, whether it's Lunk or Luna 2 or whatever, I'd like forget about it. It's just, it's going to be stained forever in history. But the real assets and the real value to me of this network, like, I don't know if I could ever trust an algo stablecoin again, and I don't know if it's necessary. The real value to me, I didn't have a lot of UST. The real value to me was the user interface, the user experience, the amount of utility that was being built on chain. And so the assets to me that are left behind are all the builders that were coordinated. And to me, if they kind of go to this bastardized Luna 2 and whatever, that's really almost just kind of like loose ends that need to be tied up. And somebody said earlier, they kind of feel like Doe's just kind of like tying up with loose ends. Like, all right, here's the deal. Y'all figure it out. And maybe that's the case. Like, I almost feel like at the end of Rogue One, the Star Wars movie, that director Krennic was like, when he was about to shoot the girl, he goes, I haven't lost anything. The only thing I've lost is time. Like, the thing that concerns me about it is fragmenting all the talent. And I almost, like, we did a Cosmos chain last week, and I'm not saying this is the answer. I don't know enough about it, but I've used Osmosis before and it's incredibly user-friendly. It kind of reminded me of it was very Terra-esque. And I know they have a good name. And again, I'm not saying this is the right answer, but I figured something on the Cosmos chain wouldn't be that difficult to migrate all the IP, the intellectual property, and the smart contracts over. But to get a fresh start with a fresh name, and if enough of the builders joined forces and went, that'd be great. I think it's an easy route. Like, everything's on Terra, and to just fork it, it's easier. But I think in the long run, I don't know if any amount of shipping will ever be able to outrun the egg on the face of that name. And so I get it. If I was one of those projects, like, would I want to kind of revamp everything and migrate everything over? Probably not. And maybe it has to for the long-term greater good. And at this point, you know, whatever I have left, I just kind of kiss goodbye. And I'm sure that whatever, once proposal pass, I'll have some kind of crumbs or whatever. But I'm kind of more concerned about the movement. And I think we were all part of that movement. Like, it was bigger than just an investment to most of us. And I think I'm sad about the money. I'm not going to lie about that. I'm sad about the money, but I'm equally as sad about the movement. And I just don't know if that can ever be got in the way that we felt it with whatever bastardized fork or burn or whatever is going to happen on Terra. But I don't know enough about what I don't know. And maybe somebody can enlighten me or tell me different.
Hey guys, Ryan Ola here. I hear like a lot of takes that seem to be, I don't know, real basic or super middle right now. Like basically like, hey, let's, how do we spin up a new L1 and some basic tech tokenomics on new L1 shit. And to me, like the spectrum of what we're dealing with here is so much more on the extremes. On one side of the spectrum, we have everything TFL did is totally legitimate, best intentions, and this was an attack on decentralization. We've known for months and months, this is an attack on DeFi. Get me my sword, right? This was months ago. So on one end of the spectrum, this is a centralized attack with USDC and BUSD and all the centralized exchange and all the regulations in Congress and central banks, BlackRock, et cetera, the whole pyramid waiting in the wings. The other end of the spectrum is that there's some insider activity here, right? Some actual criminal activity by someone within TFL, LFG, et cetera. And then right under that, insider trading activity from Luna VCs who all sold out before this happened. So with the severity of that spectrum before us, for us to kind of just act like, all right, let's just spin up a new L1 here and just keep going. Like, number one, we can't do that. Number one, if it is on the far end of the spectrum of criminal behavior from TFL, DOE, or anyone in LFG, et cetera, how do we just go forward with a proposal that's spun up by the same people who've just engaged in that? We have no receipts, no facts. What happened to the BTC? We need to find these things out. We're seeing headlines by the day. TFL's legal team running for the exits. DOE getting called before government panels, right? So we're just going to say, okay, yeah, DOE proposal, I'm in. That's like not smart, right? It's not smart.
Yeah, there may be existential threats theoretically to the existence of, let's say, TFL as an entity, for example, like you're saying, right? Like, you don't know that they can continue operations as is. I don't know the team. I have no idea how many different people there are and how many different locations they're in and whatnot. But like, I think that's part of the reason why, like, obviously, like, the whatever layer one is sort of like, it's a mixture of validators and it's a mixture of like community tokens mostly. But that's not to say that like DOE didn't have his own wallet, right? That was not TFL associated. So he does get any growth in this new platform. He gets an out, you know, call it the DOE legal fund or whatever, you know, like he's getting something out of this almost no matter what. Like he didn't say, hey, you know what? I'm going to like burn my tokens. I'm not going to accept an airdrop from my wallet to my wallet. Remember, he didn't say that either. So yeah, I see what you're saying.
But again, so it's the full spectrum, right? So even if it's on TFL of the purest intentions and of the most righteous heart, and it's, you know, a, like I said, centralized attack on stable coins, where no one's going to be able to call it a stable coin unless you're one-to-one backed by fiat, which is what's coming. There should be more talk, much more talk right now about how we survive that, how we deal with that as DeFi in general, right? And there just isn't to me. Like, there seems to be like no talk about that right now. Like, we're just ignoring anything of stablecoin. So does Terra 2 exist on USDC? Is that the plan?
Yeah, I guess so.
So if we're doing that means Terra's going to be full KYC, reg, everything with the new thing. So is it even, that's what none of us signed up for. I know that.
I've thought about that. What would be great is the only thing that is truly decentralizes Bitcoin, and somehow, and again, I don't know enough about the tech, but with Thorchain or whatever, that you have the option to go fully decentralized to Bitcoin, or if you really want a stable coin, then yeah, you're probably stuck with something like USDC. But I'm of the belief that there is no stable coin, including USD. It's lost its peg to inflation. Everything's in total flux right now. Like, to think that there is a safe place to hide, there's one place to hide under your bed. That's it. There is no such thing as a stable coin.
To me, like, there could be some intelligent discussion right now, like with Secret Network, with what they've been developing, with some other, like, instead of just ignoring it. I don't see how we have so many protocols that depend. And that's probably why Delphi is not saying a word. There's a lot of people not saying a word in this. It's like, okay, yeah, we have a lot of builder support, but we also have people being totally silent that we haven't heard from at all, who are backbone of the ecosystem. You know, like that, that concerns me.
Yeah, 100% agree. Yeah, we haven't heard anything from the Delphi, Jump Capital. Mike Novogratz is sitting there quiet somewhere, probably like...
He came out with a statement. He actually came out with a statement today. I read it.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah.
His statement was the equivalent of, you know, you got to play the whole nine innings. It was basically, yeah, you know, don't risk more than you can afford to lose. We never put more than so much percentage into our portfolio. Yeah, we sold and took a lot of profits at the highs. This didn't really hurt us that bad. Trading is hard. Good luck.
Yeah, change that tattoo.
He said that the tattoo, tattoo will serve as a reminder to be humble. Yeah, the tattoo is going to be a reminder of how much he fucking banked and dumped all over us for fucking the whole time.
Lucky, what were you about to say?
No, I mean, I think, Ola, you have a point. I mean, I don't disagree with you. It's tough. I mean, this is the reality of decentralization. This is the reality of, you know, stepping away from regulation. You know, I think us as a community are learning the goods and the bads. We're going through the bads. I think there'll be good, but you're right in some aspect. I mean, Hutch and I were talking earlier, and, you know, one of the things I said was like, I want to give Doe, you know, some time, because I knew whatever he could come out with could make or break the whole chain. But, you know, at some point you're right. Like, is he being a leader? I think that's your own opinion. And I think everyone needs to come to that own conclusion. And then you're like, well, why don't all the builders come together? But it's like, can that really happen without a leader? It's like, there's like a constant tug of war of how this has to operate. And there's no perfect answer to this, is kind of what I keep learning, because no matter which way you go, you need someone to take the reins. You need someone to be the leader. You need someone to drive the direction. Because you're clearly seeing what happens when the community comes into play. I mean, you're seeing this whole burn thing. You're seeing the fork thing. You're seeing new players come in. They're trying to take over the network. I mean, it's an interesting balance of something that, I don't know, mentally, you know, I think if we had the time, and time's not in our favor right now because we don't want to lose people. But if we had the time, I think you're right. We probably could get to something that makes the most sense. I mean, shit, I'd even want Doe to just open up a Twitter space and just let me hear him talk and see like what's going through his mind, right? Like, but I don't know. I mean, I'm like half in with you and I'm half out, because I want to give that, I want to give the benefit, but then I struggle, and then I feel bad for the developers because this is what they all lived off of. I feel bad for everyone who lost something. It's just a shitty situation.
I mean, Ryan brought up earlier, like, what do we see as like a Doe redemption arc? What could that possibly look like in this, you know, in this timeline, right? To me, that would look something like, number one, coming out super humble, admitting a whole bunch of shit that he was wrong on, apologizing to a whole bunch of people, apologizing to anyone, you know, especially that he called poor and all that. But then to follow that,
part of the reason he can't do that, by the way, I would just sort of like point out that if there are some sort of like legal events happening, then the way he's going to like play that out is, okay, well, it was a decentralized system and like, you know, these things sort of just happen. And so pretty much anything he says or does now will, you know, could basically be discoverable, obviously, or recorded. I just don't see this like happening. I just don't.
Yeah, but okay.
I'm surprised I'm surprised he just didn't go dark on Twitter and everything at all. Like,
if he's continuing and if he is the master of stablecoins, I would like to see an intelligent response about the state of regulation, about this takeover of stablecoins by the central bank and their proxies, BlackRock and the rest, and what is a plan or even some brainstorming towards surviving this incoming regulation? Because to me, it's like game over, and they knew it and they exited.
You know what I'm hearing from you, and it's probably kind of what I have too, is like, I came to decentralization for transparency, to step away from the bullshit bureaucracy that we live in. And now something happens and we're not getting, I think, something that we were hoping for. And hope's a strong word, but the expectations there, because we're in a decentralized world and we expect people to be transparent. And we were hoping that people would have the good for all, the community, not protecting themselves. But I think, you know, human nature, and I'm sure, you know, Sefi, you've talked about this DNA and power and greed, like it all comes down to the same things always with human nature. And I guarantee it's just an evolutionary nature thing here that just will always come up no matter what scenario you put people in.
But, you know, the facts are Doe affiliated with a criminal to print UST to 10 billion. I mean, we can't just memory hole that. You know, and I'm not there. I'm passing no judgment here. I'm just saying we already are dealing with that as a community leading into this. And now when that happened, I was like, all right, my thought was they were setting Doe up, right? That Sifu is an informer. He's a federally best. He's a fucking Fed, in my opinion. And they set Doe up. So TFL is suing the SEC, guys, right? Let's remember who our enemies are, what we're doing, right? TFL is suing the SEC. And then magic internet money happens, and Daniele turns over Sifu in an email directly, and that wasn't discovered by investigation. That was handed over. So I think they already had Doe by the balls on just that. To get to 10 billion, they had to associate with straight up criminals. Period.
Yeah, I think that's valid. It could be. We don't know what's happening behind the scenes. Going back to your concern about the future with stablecoins, though, me personally, I think they're dead. And if somebody comes out with one, I think it's going to be a massive, massive target. And whoever was behind this had very, very deep pockets. Like $3.5 billion to light the fuse was the ante.
Yeah, like, I don't think they're prepared until they're ready. And I think they're ready. They have everything set. The stablecoin war is basically over. It is over. The regulations are written. They're coming in. USDC, BUSD, everything backed one-to-one with fiat. Petrodollar becomes the crypto dollar. That's the plan. That's what's rolling out right in front of our face.
Yep.
Yeah, I can add a little bit to that. You know, regulations definitely coming. I don't know if you guys heard of this new protocol that's being rolled out. It's called Astra Protocol. It's been making some headlines in the mainstream financial media as well. I work with a small like crypto startup VC firm, and we had a call with them, and they have a lot of high profile guys in the government in there, including Homeland Security, the former chief of staff in the Trump administration's on there as a strategic advisor. And what they're essentially rolling out is like straight up AML and KYCs. A protocol is going to be easy for them to integrate into essentially any DeFi app, whether you're centralized or decentralized. And it's not like a small project. It's not like your typical crypto project where you have, you know, VC firms that put a few million dollars in, maybe even less than that. But, you know, their typical ticket sizes in hundreds of millions. You guys can just take a look, Google it, Astra Protocol, and they're just around the corner. Not a lot of you are talking about it right now. Like I said, we spoke to them about last month, and they're having weekly calls with Gary Gensler and the European Union. So it's an international thing as well. Now, with regards to this conversation about the stablecoin, you'd be asking me personally, obviously rolling out another algo stablecoin right now would be extremely difficult just because of the sentiment. And at the end of the day, when we're talking about stablecoin or money in general, it is a social construct where confidence has it's a huge factor to consider. So like with regards to what happened to UST, to be honest, for me, it hasn't really disproven the efficacy of algorithmic stablecoins. How I look at USTC is UST, it's essentially like a small country, right? We have our ecosystem. It has its utility within this ecosystem. But at the end of the day, Terra comparatively was still that small country. The way the path where it would have achieved success and become much more robust is that it just needed to get bigger and become essentially a reserve currency in the crypto ecosystem. As the crypto ecosystem grew, what we essentially saw with UST is not really an algorithmic problem, in my opinion. It's more of a financial, economic problem. I think you can argue that there was mistakes made from sort of, I guess, monetary policy level of it. Like, for one, for example, Anchor, you know, a lot of people outside of the Lunatic community, and maybe even some right now, see this whole catastrophe coming from Anchor's 20% yield, and they're kind of saying it's a Ponzi and stuff like that. But we know it was kind of sort of allocated funds to bootstrap ecosystem growth. And in doing so, I would argue that it has been very, very effective. But one of the main problems...
You know, another thing too, though, is it actually probably bootstrapped the attacker's money. Like, in other words, you gave them free money to actually create the attack, right? Like, so it's like risk-free money for them to actually... So, like, one of the reasons why, by the way, it's not easy to create another new stablecoin today after this happened is that, so let's say you're whatever, Tron USD or whatever the hell they're creating, right? I bring out, like, you know, $5 billion and I go and get myself some of this Tron USD with the express intent of wrecking it later. Right. So all you have to do is put a poison pill in there sufficiently large enough. And now, like, the system is, like, inherently unstable and you can kill it instantly by owning enough of it. So anyway, just side point there.
Yeah.
What was the name of that one, the KYC AML chain? What was
that? Astra, Astra protocol.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks. Guys, I got to run. Thanks, everybody. I got to take off. Yeah.
Right. So, so just to continue on, like, I agree with what you said, Sefi. It's definitely, that is a potential vulnerability, but it isn't really any different than when another country attacks, like a bigger country attacking a smaller country and setting off hyperinflation that gets out of control, right? Or, I mean, some people are comparing it with the George Soros that broke the banks. And I think that's, you know, essentially what's happening. It's all about kind of setting a balance. You have things that you could do to reduce the reflexivity of it and things that you could do that increases the reflexivity of it. And by providing 20%, you know, earn rate subsidized, that definitely has increased the reflexivity of the system a lot, especially when you stack on top of people doing leverage, right? Like the MIM degen box strategy. If it wasn't leverage, you couldn't loop it that many times, quite frankly. You'd just be able to loop it a couple times because that spread between that the rate that you're getting and how much it costs for you to borrow would be much smaller, so you wouldn't be loop it that many times. With that said, I think one of the major overlooks in Anchor is that they did not have a lockup or capital controls, essentially. What they could have done is set different rates for different lockup periods. So if you want to get 18%, you lock yourself up for 3 months. You want to get 16% 1 month. You want liquid staking, pull your money out anytime, you get 8%. So you have an average duration of all the deposits. And in the scenario that occurred, what we saw when we got attacked during that three pool migration, you would not have this like huge flood up, like basically everyone is going for the exits at the same time, where Luna has to absorb $10+ billion at the same time. Of course, you're going to experience essentially a flash crash, right? Because you look at Luna essentially, if you think about it, one way to think about it is it's like an order book, right? That's willing to take the bid and the spread against UST whenever the peg is off. But the order book has this, like, Luna, at any moment, there's a set amount of demand where people are willing to buy Luna. If you have 10 billions that just market sell one button, you're just going to get a flash crash. It's no different than any other assets. But the problem is, because of the minting mechanism, once you get to a certain point, then it just gets in a death spiral where that gravitational pull just sucks you in and you're entering to the point of no return. So it's kind of sad to me to think about it that way, because a very small adjustments to Anchor protocol, I mean, they could also set daily withdrawal limits, like put a total on it.
You could have argued too that there shouldn't have been one Anchor protocol. There should have been 100 of them, right?
like it was a centralized sort of bank, and there was only one of them, right? Like, another problem.
I think that was sort of the plan, though. This it just never got a chance to get there, because you kind of Mars Protocol was a extension of that financial system that was being built on Terra. But they definitely, you know, TFL put a lot into Anchor Protocol, and they use Anchor Protocol to essentially set the stage to bootstrap the ecosystem, right? Through Anchor Protocol, when people think about it, it's not just really about getting adoption of people putting deposits. It's really bootstrapping or giving a grant to those protocols that are integrating with Anchor Protocol. So they're actually being subsidized that way. They're not getting a grant, like a one-time payment through it, but it's definitely fueled the growth of the Terra ecosystem, and they just kind of pumped it through Anchor, right? The other thing is, I think the Bitcoin reserve, that's one thing. If we were to, they wanted to buy, and I felt this with regards to their Bitcoin reserve right when I heard that when it rolled out, they said they're going to protect the peg at 0.98. I didn't think that make very too much sense. I think the reserve should have been used specifically just to use to protect the peg in very serious depegs, maybe at like 0.8, 0.75. Because if you think about, if they did that, they make the attack significantly more expensive. But if you're just pegging, you're just protecting at 0.98, the attacker only just pays a premium of 2% to absorb it. And that's not really a big deal, to be honest.
Can I jump in here?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing all you guys, and I'm sad. I'm really sad because what I hear is a lot of very smart young people that want to change the world, and we're taken for a ride by a guy who's going to go to jail. I don't know if you guys have seen the article, but you guys realize this guy dissolved the entities that behind Terra Labs, like, days before all of this went down, right? I mean, if that's not indicative of malicious intent, then I don't know what is, you know? South Korea has put together a task force to investigate this. Apparently, he owes $80 million in taxes to the South Korean government. This guy's going down. So, I don't know.
I just want to nip this in the bud real quick. Like, I don't want to, like, start throwing accusations in this space, right? Like, I've seen that document, and, you know, for those who are aware that you know, I'm not making any judgment either way, but the TFL headquarters moved from Korea to Singapore. So whether there's a link, I don't know. I did see that post was very first put up by a brand new Twitter account that had never posted anything else before. So, you know, I don't want to start speculating here, right?
What news sources in the crypto world are putting out there? You know?
Yeah, I mean, the news sources of the crypto world generally suck, by the way. Like, they're not very good. So that's the first problem. The news sources are, like, you know, pretty shitty. Quite honestly, I've seen people, like, repeat what I say on Twitter spaces in crypto news, and that's not really particularly great journalism, quite frankly. But anyway, I think we, like, the number one TFL's move, as far as I know, to Singapore is well telegraphed. Singapore has better sort of rules regarding crypto in general. That all is not something at this point that's, like, of concern to me. Not to mention, TFL has no reason to have essentially, they could have gone completely as a undoxed group, right, in the very beginning. And some of the guys at TFL, I don't think, are public figures at all. You know, so Doe put himself out there, you know, like, if I was going to be a criminal, I would basically prefer to stay anonymous. In fact, you should probably be more worried about me right now than him, since you have no idea who I am at this moment. So, like, I think...
I've been putting together the clues over the last 12 you're months.
I'm trying to figure out what agencies I work for still.
I'm pretty close.
No doubt there's plenty to be concerned of. However, those two points are basically FUD
he could pay that tax. And the moving, as everyone has said here, was known in advance. Whether it's some malicious intent or not, unknown. But those two points are not strong enough in and of themselves. The bigger concern is they have yet to show receipts on the BTC and everything that happened. They still, you know, have not showed receipts on a lot of things along the way. The actual movement of funds and creation of LFG and the New Dawn project was not really community driven.
Exactly.
Do you want to see receipts? I'm just curious. And do you want to see the receipts?
Absolutely. I absolutely want to see receipts on what happened. To come right back to what Ryan Ola jumped in here with, and I love to hear you speak, Ryan, because I think I don't know exactly how I'd class you, but I know you're a freedom loving individual, right? And I think you make some pertinent points around. Well, firstly, some pertinent points around we need to. There's a lot that's not been unpacked, right? And you know, I was saying earlier, I think we're rushing here, and I guess my points were being around how we build out something new. But I think you're also right, absolutely right, in that we need to unpack some of the stuff that's gone on, and you know, see those receipts, see that detailed breakdown of why this happened, where it came from, et cetera, with that said, I don't want people up here throwing baseless accusations around. I think we all, members close to this community, and I don't want to start grandstanding conspiracy theories, but it was very clear that alongside the financial attacks that were happening on the network and on UST, wherever those came from, there was a lot of coordination. There was DDoS attacks on the network that slowed it up at crucial points. There was seemed to me to be extremely coordinated FUD campaigns on Twitter from both large Twitter accounts as well as bots that were spotted out in the wild as well. So, there's a lot to unpack. I think Ryan gave a really good outline of the different extremes of what this could have been. Could it have been, a complete outside attack? Could there have been inside elements, et cetera, et cetera?
I know Jim has his hand up. I just want to say one thing to this, Ryan. I think the one thing that I've learned from this, and I hope everyone on this call takes away, is preparing for the worst. And it's funny because, where I work, and I think this, I work for a really large retailer. We talk about disaster recovery and we talk about, if shit happens, what do we do? And we actually practice it. And I always think it's a waste of time. Why are we doing this? It's so stupid. What does it matter? If something is going down in the world, why do I care if a server needs to be up? But I guess it's more than that going through this. I think, no matter what chain, if people invest heavily somewhere in the future, I think it's really understanding what we went through that day or those 3 days. What has the community, what has the leaders, what's the plan for attacks? Because we know this might be the new normal in the future, especially around decentralization.
I'd like to offer a couple points. First of all, Crypto Sense really did a good job explaining things. Do Kwon and TFL built a money printer in essence, and they were the closest to the money printer than anybody else. And so when you create a money printer, you're going to have a lot of attackers. No government entity, no bank, no Tether, nobody's going to want to see that succeed. So they're going to want to try to sabotage it as much as possible, in my opinion. And he got the closest to creating a money printer that was actually going to work, which is pretty damn phenomenal. You have to give it up to the intelligence and the big brains, Bodo and over there at TFL. The other thing, going back to CryptoSense about, the whole capital controls with Anchor, in a nation state, we had Libya and Turkey. When they had bank runs, they just shut down their banks. And we didn't have anything like that here in Terra, where we could just shut it down or shut it off or cut the circuit breakers. And every government or every nation state in the world will do that when circumstances, when shit hits the fan, more or less. There's nobody who's going to leave, you know, leave the banks open and let everybody withdraw money. So I think if we would have had something like that in place, it would have saved us. And then third thing, as far as, you know, Doe's, in my opinion, has really lacked in leadership over this whole thing. It's probably strategic. I imagine it's strategic. And he's going to think about himself and his family first. But he was so out in the open from the beginning, including, 2021 in May, you know, when shit was hitting the fan. He was out in the open, just kind of calming everything down, saying, hey, guys, it's going to be all right. There's nothing that's changed. You know, this is still a functioning product and that type of thing. And I just feel like he really dropped the ball on leadership, on being transparent on what happened, what was going on. And him with a military service, military background, he understands leadership and how important it is, I would imagine. You know, they hammer into various militaries around the world, including South Korea. It was probably similar to the United States. So I just think he really dropped the ball on that. And people are questioning if he was authentic, if he's, you know, is a criminal or has been taking money or letting his buddies take money. And he could have really dispelled that just coming out and say, hey, this is what we did. We tried our best. We fucked up here. We fucked up there. And like somebody else said, probably would have been forgiven and we could have moved on. But until we get that, it's hard for anyone to move on and really trust Do Kwon and TFL. So those are the comments that I had.
I would say as for a founder wallet, right? You don't know for sure. It's always a joke, you know, like the Do Kwon third wallet, fourth wallet. Remember that joke series? When it comes to founders, you have to imagine if you have half a brain, you're probably going to go buy some of your coin or allot yourself some of it that's not sort of like well known, and you're going to convert that to something else for diversification purposes probably at some point. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's not necessarily poor right now, in the sense that he probably does have other assets.
Oh, right? No shot.
Right? He's so poor. He's what now? Yeah,
there's no shot he's like, poor. You know, I put a large amount of money on the fact that he's probably still a billionaire.
Yeah, I don't know about a billionaire, but I think he's probably got plenty of assets that is like moved aside. So I think, I think whatever public wallet he has or what have you, he may have an equivalent one, yeah, like you said, that is sitting somewhere. So that he already kind of offloaded into other things at some point or the other, right? So these things are always possible. And that brings up Ola's point, you know, like the insider trade question. Technically speaking, in DeFi, guess what, guys? Like, there are going to be insider trades because there is no like declaration principle where you have to announce before you do something with your money, right? So, this is the reason why those declarations are usually present. If, like, let's say, for example, the CEO of a company decides to sell a bunch of shares, they're supposed to like say something, declare something before they do it, blah, blah, blah. And there's like a process involved, right? So that's just something you live with in DeFi, especially in the layer ones. I think it's naive to think that you're not living in a world where that sort of thing is going to be pretty common, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I wasn't speaking. Yeah,
do you want to go first or?
Go ahead, bud. Go ahead. I'll go after you.
Yeah, I just wanted to continue on with kind of what Jim said. 100%, I agree with what he said. Like, there just needs to be, if anybody was to attempt an algo stablecoin in the future, there definitely needs to be some sort of stop where you can kind of shut down the bank, like he's saying. You know, there's a reason why in the stock market, when it drops too much, it halts for a time because it gives people time to kind of not get that cascading liquidation thing, which we saw in Anchor happen two times now or three times, maybe even. Same thing with regards to Doe. Do Kwon and all these comments. A little bit, to be honest, I don't know if there's anything legal, like thing he did illegal. I don't really want to get there because that's all speculation. But I do feel bad a little bit for him because he was kind of, you know, everyone looked up to him one moment and just a week later, now everyone's shitting on him. And I think the truth of the matter is, you know, a lot of us are in pain. Like for me, I've lost basically nearly all my net worth because it was all within the Terra ecosystem, whether it was altcoins, Luna or UST, it was pretty much a lot of those in there. And that, you know, emotion is still raw. And naturally speaking, I think when you're hurt, you're looking for somebody to blame, right? And just imagine if we knew who the attacker was, like it wasn't anonymous. I feel like that blame would be shifted upon the attacker, but because we don't know who they are, a lot of that blame is being shifted onto Do Kwon because he was kind of like the face of the company. That's just how I feel about the whole Do Kwon situation. But that's not to say that I'm not happy with the current proposal that's being proposed. I think it leaves out a lot of the core Luna community members, which, you know, the community is a big aspect of the success of the ecosystem. But I think one thing that if we could just go like 1 week back, what the community should have done is that we needed to have someone to represent this. And it could have been someone like, you know, Seffy, Ryan, these you guys that have huge accounts and a lot of influence that, you know, everyone listens to. They form kind of a cohesive voice, like an alliance. Because you look at the builders, they have a builders alliance. So they have a seat at the table. TFL, they have a seat at the table. And even though that the community is essentially a big part of how well, you know, Terra can rebuild in the future, but at this moment, we don't really have a seat at the table. So you look at the two or three revisions that happened with the proposals, it's pretty bad, to be honest, for the lunatics that's been here for a very long time. Now, I know everyone's going to have a different opinion here. You're never going to reach 100% consensus, but it doesn't make sense to me from just like, I don't even want to use the word fairness because like, this is not fair to anybody, but just from a perspective of where you want to align interests to give it the best shot that Terra, you know, can rebuild to its like former glory, if you will. Obviously, you know, the builders need to be taken care of, but the core members as well, the people that has been around here, the core Luna members, because we are essentially the users. We know all the protocols. We're familiar with the ecosystem. You have educators here, like look at Seffy and Ryan. They do these Twitter spaces every so often. They publish, you know, Twitter threads and all that. They're the one who brings in new users, educates them. Danku, you know, the content, like all that's very important too. But in some ways, I feel that because we don't have a voice in the table, or at least a unified one, we kind of got shafted. Yeah.
Like, you know, I know it's easy to call everything a cult and whatnot, but the reality is that for individuals in a community to take, like Lucky or myself or Ryan or anybody, to take sufficient time out of their day doing whatever the hell there is they're doing to come chit chat with people that are nons on the internet or whatever and talk about some protocol, you know, technically speaking, it's got to be something that either you sort of like A, believe in, or B, like you have a big bag in and you're pumping it, right? Like one of the two has to be true usually. So but the people that actually like are more true believers in a sense are the ones most likely to be the advocates for the system and the protocol. So, and then the question also becomes like, okay, what's going to be the X factor in the new, you know, Terra V2? And is that going to result in, you know, a similar excitement where people feel like they're going to like spend the time and put their name out there or whatever it is, you know, they're not, you know, call it reputation, call it name, really, but really at the end of the day, it's your time, right? Like, are you going to put your time into something? Because not every L1 has a bustling sort of like, you know, same type of community necessarily. So is Ryan Ola going to be just as enthusiastic, you know, a month from now on the new V2 as he was on the previous mechanism or whatever he believed in? I don't know, right? Like that may happen, it may not. And, but
maybe Flocker better have some comments here.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Terra V2, Some Thoughts from the Community, hosted by Ryan Lyon. This is part one. I believe part two is still going right now, so we'll have that up once it's finished. This was recorded on Wednesday, May 18th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
Check both belts, yo, we're locked and loaded. Coming through the test, y'all works of oldest. Like the motherfucking past ain't relevant. Selling these cats on the same old developments. Folks hacked into the housing projects. Never even known what it's like to prosper. Fuck that, y'all, I thought this was America. Marinating in the raw bold is our character. The fight that's ahead, shit, it won't be easy. It's like the MPP got people greedy. That's the narrative of perpetual progression. And it's civilization's darkest lesson. Don't take it from me, look the fuck around. And know what to look for before it goes down. And know what you're good for when they come to your town. Cross that threshold and get drugged the fuck out.
Check out the tech, tech. Check out the tech, check out the technique. Check out the tech, tech, tech. Check out the tech, check out the technique. Check out the rhythm, tech, tech. Check out the tech, check out the technique. Check out the tech, tech, tech. Check out the tech, out the technique.
You better farm your land or it'll get farmed for you. Big pharma farming hemp that breeds loyal. It's all in these documents I bring forward. The nobles are obviously in league with big oil. When we release the lease on these resources, we'll need of course a briefcase and three sorcerers, complete with Greek sources and people to pull the trigger when I give these orders. Struggling a while with these disorders. Chaotic neutral but still wishing he was in orbit. Stomps only go up. When did this shit become do or die? Viva Elon Musk will be my battle cry. I mean, somebody's gotta lead the autists into battle when we finally defeat the bosses. Level up shit and shift the wealth and make sure you keep a little bit for yourself.
Check out the tech, tech, tech. Check out the tech, check out the technique. Check out the tech, tech, tech. Check out the tech, check out the technique. Check out the rhythm, tech, tech, rhythm. Check out the tech, check out the technique. Check out the tech, tech, tech. Check out the tech, check out the technique.